Years ago, when we were still living in Florida, Bjorn was having a very tough time at work. And yes, I got permission to share this story. He has a heart for children with disabilities and was working full-time in a classroom with kids who had severe intellectual and physical challenges. He was under an enormous amount of pressure on a daily basis, and it was taking a toll on his health. Around that time, we were loving life at home with Leif, but we felt ready to add another baby to our family. Unfortunately, we suffered 3 miscarriages in a row, a devastating blow to our family. Imagine trying to explain to a 2-year-old that God wanted to raise his little brother or sister in heaven, and that we could pray and ask for another baby that we would get to keep with us. I have had friends and coworkers over the years who faced enormous struggles in their lives. Abusive relationships, substance abuse, infertility, battles against cancer, some of which were lost, car accidents, some of which were fatal. Folks who died from COVID, a friend who gained and then lost children to the foster care system, and the list goes on. None of us in this room has been exempt from facing something difficult or painful or stressful. The circumstances look different for each of us. And each of us carries a list in our hearts of those circumstances that threaten to pull us down in grief and fear and anxiety. This is not new to the human condition. Every era of human history and every nation and culture worldwide has its stories of natural disasters, plagues, wars, tyrants, violence, rebellions, injustice, oppression of the weak by the powerful. Even our Holy Scripture is filled with stories of massacres and oppression, of disease and pain and suffering. Our text from Nehemiah this morning finds the people of Israel returning to Jerusalem from their long exile in Babylon. Rather than rejoicing, the people were in conflict with one another. There were disputes among them, and the nation was fragmented. They argued over who should be in charge, or who should be included or excluded from the new nation that they would build up. They were a people who had been adrift for so long that they were grasping for anything that would give them solid footing once again. Enter Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe. Ezra read from the book of law of Moses to the crowds. The people wept as they listened to the words. They raised their hands and bowed their heads in worship. The word of God brought them comfort. It reminded them of all the people who had suffered in the past. But more importantly, it reminded them that God had come to their rescue time and time again. It may not have been raindrops on roses or whiskers on kittens, but Nehemiah and Ezra reminded the people of their favorite things. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Go on your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Ecclesiastes 8:15 puts it this way. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for people under the sun than to eat and drink and be merry. For this joy will accompany them in their labor during the days of their lives that God gives them under the sun. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus read to the people of his hometown in Nazareth from the book of Isaiah. Once again, people were living during turbulent times. The Roman Empire was at its height and ruled with absolute power in the region. The people of God longed for the Messiah to come and save them. They expected a mighty warrior to arise and defeat the Romans, along with any other power that would threaten to oppress them. When Jesus opened the scroll, he read the words they had heard dozens of times before. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll and told his neighbors and friends, the people who watched him grow up, that the scripture had been fulfilled as they listened to him speak those words. Next week, we're going to talk about what they did after that, but not right now. Now, you may have noticed that while I've been speaking, I've been up here folding paper. Some of you might have even noticed that what I was making all this time, but for those of you who had no idea, I've been folding an origami crane. And it came out not too bad this time, especially since I wasn't watching most of what I was doing. Back when Bjorn was having such a hard time in his class in Florida working with kids with severe disabilities, I wanted to do something that would give him encouragement throughout the day. He, of course, appreciated the support that I gave him in the evenings when he came home and vented about his day, but it did little to help him get through the next day. So I had the idea to write some scriptures and uplifting messages to him on small squares of origami paper, reminding him that he was loved and supported and that what he was doing mattered far more than he could see during those tough moments throughout the day. I folded each piece of paper into a tiny crane so that he could open it and read it anytime he was having a bad time. In Japan, the crane has long been a symbol of happiness, longevity, and good fortune. However, the origami crane has come to hold a far greater meaning. In 1945, a 2-year-old girl named Sadako Sasaki, and forgive me if I've butchered that pronunciation, she was exposed to radiation from the atom bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. By the time she was 12, she had developed leukemia as a result. She began the Japanese tradition of folding 1,000 origami cranes, wishing to recover from her illness. In time, her goal changed, and she began to hope for world peace instead. She continued folding each crane with the help of her classmates, and they became a new symbol of peace and love in the world. She was later buried with those 1,000 cranes made into a wreath. What are your favorite things? What are your symbols of joy and peace and love? How does God remind you that you are loved when times get difficult? Do not weep or mourn, my friends, for today is holy. We have been sent one who brings good news to the poor, releases captives, and lets the oppressed go free. Whatever fears or pains or struggles you carry, allow yourself to eat, drink, and be merry. For you yourself are a paper crane. Fold one, or two, or 1,000. Give a blessing bag to someone whose struggles are more immediate than your own. Open the Word of God and find comfort in His promises, for they have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. To Him alone we offer our hymns of joyful praise, for the joy of the Lord will be our strength. May it be so. Amen.